This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, we're off tomorrow because we've got the Rockies looking. Tomorrow will probably be looking for the sweep because I see no reason they won't win tonight. I mean, based on what we saw last night, this team is red hot. But we're off tomorrow, so we sidestepped a bit here. We have Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post, Keeling Me Softly, normally on Wednesday, but it's Tuesday. It's very confusing. Sean, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thank you for accommodating me in your pre-Rockies Tuesday.
Yes. You know what? Hey, what did you think about that Rockies win, man? I was like, save some runs for the rest of the season, fellas, okay?
Hey, my White Sox got their first win. I'm mad because it overshadowed the White Sox getting their first win in Miami against those sweeping the Rockies Marlins. So I think I bring that up because I think the Rocks and Sox are still pretty close to each other.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's just say that even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. And sometimes they find 14 of them.
I want them to find them in, yes.
And they find them in Canada. So good. Good blind squirrel.
I want them to find 30 wins. Now 29.
Oh, they'll find 30 wins.
Yeah.
You want to have that talk. You're not going to have last year. Like, this is, short answer, this is a team that's probably going to lose 100 games, but it's not going to lose 120. And that's a 20-game. A 90-game improvement is, what, 62 and 100? So I think that's in the cards, and it's not great, but it is technically progress.
Yeah, and I would imagine, even if they lose 100, but if they're 20 games better, Warren Schaefer is safe, for the following season.
Yeah.
Right?
Whenever that starts. You want us right, because we've talked about this. This season, for better or for worse, and I'm going to opening day as far as I know, and it's kind of chilly up here north of town. And it's going to be that way Friday as well. So we're getting prepared after a no winter and all summer for like February and March. It's a free hit for everybody, right? Like, you're not – just don't lose. Like, literally their only remit is don't be any worse than the worst team in modern National League history. That's not hard, and that's good. But the bad side is the ceiling is still awfully low.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a year where you're going to throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks. You got all these new pieces in the front office. You're transitioning out of a very old kind of stodgy thing that we've all been over. We're going to see how much the new regime can. They're already trying to put stuff into spring training, how they approach the pitching and the prep and what have you. And this is kind of, it may not pay off in results, but the point of this season, it's a true rebuild in that the point of this, to use football and college football analogies, again, this is something we love to do. This is a true old school rebuild and a true old school college football rebuild, in that the best thing about this year is if it leads to something better in 2028 and 2029, because you've got no shot of doing anything now and probably not next year. You've got a lockout coming after in and around Christmas. You don't know when the next season is going to start, but the next season is going to have a new CBA when it does start, a new economic framework for the game, where then the Rockies train starts moving forward. It or needs to start moving forward at some level, and they need to see what they really got. But this feels like it's going to be a whole year of evaluation, and maybe it's fun. But if wins come as a part of that, great. But I think it's kind of a sidelight, and that's not going to be the main thing.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Just kind of looking for progress at this point. Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. I think you're up to something, Sean. I think you're trying to spark some magic for the Colorado Avalanche, because the last time we had the whole Jared Bednar needs to get out of the second round conversation, they want a Stanley Cup. I think you're just trying to put that magic out there so the Avs go ahead and do it again.
Are you referring to the column in this morning's Denver Post?
I sure am. I loved it, by the way, because I'm all about the pressure, Sean. I love it, and you're kind of putting it on Jared Bednar. And today's Denver Post: should Avalanche extend Jared Bednar only if he gets past second round of Stanley Cup playoffs?
And I don't think that's an unfair bar.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
And I'll give a hockey assist to, I don't know him well, but I know him, Pierre LeBrun, with the Athletic and TSN. And he's kind of the Shams. He's the Shams. He's the Shams of Canada hockey to some degree. And he put it out there in one of his notes packages. But, you know, if as long as Jared gets past the first round, because he's up in 27, and we've had this talk about coaches in lame duck years, I don't think KSC wants to put him in a lame duck. He certainly doesn't want to be in a lame duck year. And I pointed out in the column, ask Gene Orvell how lame duck years go. They're not good.
Not good. Not good.
As we know in hindsight, and as you and I have heard from many people since, that was a lot worse behind the scenes than it was out in public at CSU about a year ago to last summer. So, and a lot more uncomfortable than it was out in public. So, they don't want KSC, to their credit, and with them and money and coaches, you can't give them a lot of credit historically, at least as far as spending go. They have to make a decision pretty soon. It's not quite like the Broncos Stadium deal, but it is in that you've got to get this laid out ahead of time. And Pierre put in a note, well, if he gets past the first round, get ready. They're going to throw an extension at him. And I was having this discussion with somebody else on Sunday when this started leaking out, and I thought, is that it? Is that all you have to do? And they should, if it's Winnipeg or whomever, as a one seed, and knock on wood, they should get out of that first round. And then it's just going to get precipitously tougher, but you have the best team. I can see the argument, because there is an argument, and I text some Avs fans I know, because I just tried to crowdsource, and they're like, and literally, I think I reached out to two or three of them yesterday afternoon before I wrote that, and they went, yeah, I'm good with that. I said, really? And they said, yeah, we're in a great place, and I don't think we're going to hire somebody that's going to do necessarily better. And I went, okay, we'll see if you think that after round two, because that's where Jared's had problems. So I asked the question, depending on what happens in the postseason, are the Avs satisfied to sort of be the NHL now what the Braves were in the 90s? And that's not a bad thing, but it in a lot of ranks.
Yeah, and that's what's tough. I was thinking about this, reading your piece, Sean, and I was like, man, I can't even imagine the Avalanche with this group, you know, without Jared Bednar. I can't imagine Gabriel Landeskog, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar without Jared Bednar. Couldn't imagine Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray without Michael Malone either, and somehow we get used to it.
We do, but here's the difference, and this column didn't get into that, and I wish I had. And I think we've talked about this. The Cronkies look at basketball, soccer, and football a lot different than they do hockey, right? That's a fundamental difference. In fact, they are basketball people through and through first. Josh played. Like, this is a real thing. I think, and this is meant as a compliment, I think the Cronkies look at the Avs the way a lot of athletic directors, back to major college sports, a lot of athletic directors at big schools look at their women's hoops and women's programs. I don't know this as well as they do. I have a senior women's administrator who makes these decisions. As long as it's in good shape, and we're probably not making a lot of money, but if we've got winning culture and good kids and good coaches, I'm going to leave that alone. I think the Cronkies look at the Avs and say, whatever Joe wants. But Joe is their senior women's administrator. That's a terrible analogy.
No, it makes sense, though.
One,
yeah.
But I think, maybe you can say to their credit, the Cronkies know what they don't know. Joe Sakic will know more about hockey than anybody on the planet. And so they look at that and say, all right, you figure it out. And I think Joe, to get to the root of this, I think Joe definitely likes Jared, and I think Jared's resume justifies that. And it's probably as simple as that. I don't think Stan and Josh put a lot of thought into the Avs compared to what they do with the Rams, Arsenal, and the Nuggets, if that makes sense.
No,
I don't think it's even close.
No, it does make a lot of sense, because we've kind of heard that off and on, that the Cronkies obviously lean in a little bit more, especially Josh leans a little bit more on the basketball side, because he maybe knows a little bit more on the basketball side, and then the hockey side is kind of the blind spot, but kind of, you know, whatever, kind of like what you're saying, it makes sense.
Yeah, we got Joe. Joe knows that. He's our senior women's administrator. He'll deal with that.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. Let me ask you this, Sean. You know, I've always been saying this, like, if the Nuggets get away at the end of all of this, and Joker retires and literally rides off into the sunset,
Literally.
And they just get one title out of that.
Yeah.
Bunch of MVPs, but one title out of that. It's going to be a pretty sad situation, I think, considered a disappointment. But what if it's the same for the Avalanche and they get one cup out of this? Who is it more disappointing for? Which franchise would that be more disappointing for, the Avalanche or the Denver Nuggets? I would say maybe the Avs, because you don't just have Nathan MacKinnon, you got Cale Makar. There's two guys almost interchangeable when you're having conversations about top five in the league.
Yeah, I had to give it a quick 2 second pause in your question, but then when you bring up the personnel and you bring up the franchise history, I think it's the Avs.
Yeah.
I think with the short answer with Jokic, I think there'll be disappointment. And then, you know, there'll be sadness because we'll never see him again. But we'll have to.
Never.
I mean, it'll be unlikely. You'll have to figure out, but it's going to be such a rare thing. But then there'll be joy that, he broke all these glass ceilings. And that will be, he is their Joe Sakic, among other things. Compliments to Joe. He set that bar that everyone will have to chase going forward, at him and Murray. I think it's more disappointing for the Avs. You've got a championship history, first off. You've got an excellent history, second off. And you have more Hall of Famers on your roster per capita than the Nuggets do, right? You just did.
Yeah.
And you brought up the people. We start MacKinnon Makar. Nico's going to be there too. So he's going to be a big chunk of that window, and then he helped shut it down last year, as we saw. So you've got three, maybe more, Hall of Famers that were core pieces of that run who are going to have their jerseys retired. I think maybe even a simpler way to say, well, how many of those jerseys are going to get retired? No, that's probably a bad argument. We'll just say Hall of Famers, because I think all of that starting five of those Nuggets might be in the bleachers at some point pretty soon from that 23 title team. I think they'll probably all be up there, including MPJ. And Aaron Gordon twice, by the way. Let me stay on record. I'm the advocate for Aaron Gordon in respect to his family, his brothers. But 50 and 30. When he goes up, I want to see 50 and 32. Put them up. Put them both up there at the same time. I think it's a nod of disappointment if we're there at 1-1 of each 10 years from now. It's probably more disappointing on the Avs side, because I think with the Nuggets, it's all still a little, it's disappointing and it's sexier and has more ESPN attention, but also it has never been done. So the fact that they've never been done has already stamped their legend for kind of all time here.
That's a great point. The fact that, you know, the Avs have a better history of that, it leads you to think that there could be more of that coming down the road. For the Nuggets, it's like, when are we going to strike gold again like they did with Joker? Even when they got Carmelo Anthony, nothing compared to what we've been seeing individually and honestly, team-wise, nothing even close to what we're seeing with Joker.
Yeah, the Joker thing, and Carmelo is a great point to bring up because, again, living Hall of Famer, and another great 15, and then all the debates about how they had that ended, retiring his jersey or not, or at least honoring his jersey, and how that divorce went. It was bad. It was an ugly divorce. Are you ever going to see? I don't think you never say never. You're a young, fit, fast, young host.
Very fast, Sean.
Very fast.
Yeah.
Quick feet. And I'm just a fat hooligan off in the corner somewhere, pushing into midlife and suffering through his ninth midlife crisis. And I don't think – I will say in my lifetime, as a, let's say, closer to the 50 side of the ledger, I don't think in my lifetime I will see, whether I'm in Denver or not, anything like Nikola Jokic in this town for that confluence. Because – and I'll tell you what, and not just him as – never mind him as a talent and as the gifts that he brought to the court – and that'll bring up all of them. We should be sadder if we don't get more titles from this. He is so unique on so many levels, but where he is the most unique in this market is that he does not want to leave it, or at least has not expressed that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody that good with that much juice and that much gravitas, they aren't playing for the Nuggets. They are pulling a Melo. More people are going to pull a Melo from here because of just reasons, just the way the NBA is so coastal and is so skewed to bigger markets and where the networks want their stars to play. I'm not sure, again, in my lifetime, we'll see anything like Joker with that here. So I think you do definitely, while I say it's more disappointing for the Avs, I think Joker's the more unique, singular basketball experience in this town, because I don't know that you'll see that again anytime soon.
Yeah, because if we want to sit here and you can make a lot of great cases for when we're talking Mount Rushmores, and the Nuggets have, a handful of those guys. It just seems like when you have those conversations, the more obvious names that pop up are Avalanche players, more so than Nuggets players. Because when we're talking about greatness compared.
Well, for the city, I'm just going to go back to what I said earlier, and Jokic is on that monument now. I don't think Nate and Kale are there. Does that make sense? Like, if there's a second monument, Nate and Kale, now, if Nate and Kale win two more, if Nate and Kale win more titles than Joe Sakic did, then you have to have an argument there. But what Joker is doing puts him rung down, but he puts him on that statue with Super Joe, and it puts him on that statue with John Elway, and I should say sculpture, puts him on that sculpture with them, and you could, I mean, you get arguments about Manning, and it, with the Rockies, it's a little hard because their ceilings have been so low, and you clearly have two candidates, but, you know, if you're forced to put one for every sport there, I guess you put Helton, probably, being on that World Series team and the peak of what you had. But no, Joker is there, and I don't know that McKinnon and McCarr are there right now. But they're young enough, and certainly Kale is, health permitting, knock on wood, that he might. But I think this is a town where that's measured by championships, and it's measured by impact, as well it should be. And every one of those guys, Joker might have the fewest of that, but he was the first to do that here for that franchise, and that's going to hold a lot of weight. The way that it did with Sakic. That's why I make that parallel. That he was kind of the first one of what they hope will be more, but we'll see.
Yeah, no question. Great stuff from you as always, Sean. I love this. I love this this kind of conversation too, because that's what you expect when you have these types of players that we're talking about. You're expecting hardware. You're expecting championships, and that's why it is a worthwhile conversation again to be having about Jared Bednar.
No, it's great. It's just a great, and with where the Broncos are too, coming into my eighth year in this market, you know, knock on wood, to get to a decade, it's a golden time. So even if you don't get the job done, you're still, the windows for three of the big four teams in this market are still wide open. And I'll I know you want to run me out the door on a two, and I'm going to run out the door. But I wouldn't be shocked if those three and throwing the Broncos in there, dang it, in the next 3 years we're going to get a parade. And that sounds conservative. Oh, that's so bold. But I think we could be disappointed if those three we don't get at least one parade, because that's how good they are.
Yeah.
So enjoy it. I mean, it'll be frustrating if you don't get there, but dang it, you are there. And then spend your summers resting during Rocky season to gear up for the rest of the three good teams in the market, and we'll see what they look like after 2028, 2029. But I don't know. You're more of a native son. I have to go look and see. I should do that today. If this is the best that those big three have been at the same time, I want to say there was a November. Last November was the best record they all had at the same time, as young as those winter seasons were. But now we're getting to the tail end of it and all the ups and downs that the Avs and Nuggets have had with their regular season. I'd imagine it's a pretty nice time, and so enjoy it. You know, it's going to be frustrating and stressful, but it's really a great time to be a Denver sports fan. It really is.
Yeah, no question about it. Sean, always great from you, man. Great hearing from you, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday, my friend.
Okay, sounds good. Let me know.
All right, man. Bye. Sean Keeler, Denver Post, 40 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quickly here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.